We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're off to a flying start here. Our good friend Jeff Brown will be here right now to do a better job than I am. You're going to be better than me, Jeff. I hope so.
I hope so, too.
We're talking some Penn State hoops. Penn State coming off a loss in Atlantic City to NC State, 89-78, the final there. Maybe a little disappointing outcome considering where this game was at with about 10 minutes to go. 68-64 was the score, and in 3 minutes, that stretches to 79-64, and any shot of Penn State hanging around goes out the window.
It just got out of hand really, really fast. But, you know, when you look at if you got a team shooting 60% for the game and you're hanging close with them through almost the entire game, you know, I realize I'm making excuses at this point, but it's tough to fight off 60%.
Well, I don't view it as making excuses. So this is a Penn State program, and certainly if NC State's making shots, you know, to some extent, you just got to tip your cap in that situation. Yep. You know, they shot 70%+ in the second half alone. But the first thing that stood out to me was that is not a very Pat Chambers-like defensive line there.
That's true. They for whatever reason, and I don't know. I mean, you can't say they didn't have their legs. They haven't been playing that many games. In fact, they've got a much tougher road to hoe here before the end of the month. But yeah, they were very un-Pat Chambers like in that that situation and that stretch of time, and it did end up biting them.
So Pat Chambers, one of the things that he said after the game was NC State was making plays late, making plays with some consistency late in this game. Penn State was not doing that. I guess the question is, and as this team takes shape, and as the young guys start to grow and as it finds its identity, I think all of which are still out there that has not happened yet. When is Penn State going to start making these plays late? Because I don't think it's an issue of talent. I think maybe it's an issue of, I don't know about chemistry, although Pat Chambers has hinted at that, but youth is part of that too.
Well, of course. I mean, you've got, it's still a relatively young team, and it's weird to think that, you know, for two or three years now, we've been talking about, well, it's a relatively young team. But it actually is when you stop to look at it. But, you know, for years now, and this just frustrates me, Penn State, it seems like every game, and I'm sure it's not, but it seems like every game there is a dry spell where they will go 3, 4, sometimes 5 minutes without making a field goal. And it drives me absolutely nuts, and I cannot for the life of me figure out why. It's been with different teams. It's been different combinations of players. It's been back, you know, back way before the Taylor Battle era. There were always those 3, 4 dead minutes, and that either puts them behind and they can't make it back up, or it causes them to lose the lead. It's so frustrating.
Well, one of the things, and this is an ongoing storyline that I think Pat Chambers said last week himself, is that the consistency and the depth and the diversity of the way and the options they have to score the basketball. And it might be a team that has some veterans, but one of the fundamental things here, an issue if you want to call it that, is that they are hoping that they can get high priority scoring from guys who haven't played college basketball before.
Well, that's true. And the other thing I'm hoping for is with these last three games of the month, Duquesne and Alabama, UMBC, before they really kick into the Big Ten, Mike Watkins gets his feet underneath him. I think the whole game changes, the whole offensive philosophy changes for Penn State if they've got a threat down low. Watkins only scored 10 points against North Carolina State, and that's not enough. You've got to have a threat underneath. So they can't just start hanging on Rashier. They can't start hanging on Josh Reeves and Lamar. You've got to free those guys up a little bit.
Yeah, Mike Watkins certainly a key. How about Rashier Bolton, though? He's really on a hot streak here. Another 25 in this game. He gets 25 points on 14 shots, which is exactly what you want. You're one of your top scorers. Do 10 out of 11 from the free throw line. Kind of, he's a guy who's coming of age, it would appear, early in the season.
Yeah, and when I first saw Rozier, I thought, okay, well, he's going to be the one of the three that develops later because he's so small. I figured that Myron Jones already had a great pedigree and he was going to be putting up shots. And I also thought that we were going to see a lot more from Miles Dredd than we've seen. But Rozier has been the guy that has stepped up and really made it happen.
While we're talking about bright spots in this NC State loss, you know, it's a loss that drops Penn State to, what, 5-5 on the year. You kind of feel like same old Penn State. It's the same stuff we talked about in the early part of last season, Jeff. But your guy Jamari Wheeler in that game was one of the few bright spots as the game was getting away from Penn State a little bit. He finished with 9 points, 5 rebounds, couple assists, couple steals. I don't think he had a turnover. So a nice game for your boy.
Yeah, and you know what? What a great bonus that would be if Jamari Wheeler could get on a roll and not just be dishing balls out, but also become a threat. Even if he scores 10 points a game or scores 12 points a game or something like that, that's yet another perimeter person that the defense has to try to figure out. And instead of playing 4-on-5 basketball, Penn State's been playing 5-on-5 basketball.
And I think anybody who can lift the scoring load would be welcome for Penn State right now. Talking some Penn State basketball here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea for the holidays or otherwise for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to check out tailgatewine.com and the blue and white wine gift box. Also have some wine and barbecue pairings with sauces and rubs. You can check all those out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. And if I'm the barbecue here, you're the wine, Jeff, because you're just you're bringing the party along here.
I thought you and I was going to be whining.
Well, yeah, you're not a whiner at all. You're too positive to be a whiner.
Oh, I guess, but you know, it's once again. This was a game that Penn State could have won. And I think the last time you and I spoke, you know, we did the whole the Steve Jones stat that if they'd gotten four more buckets, they would have had three more wins. And I was talking to Steve the other day, and he said he truly thought they were going to be 8-1. And this was before the NC State game. He said he figured they'd lose to Maryland because Maryland's a tough place to play. But he really thought they were running the table other than that. And, with the Virginia Tech maybe being the iffy game. I tend to agree with him. And again, I don't want to look the world's blue-colored glasses. But they have been close in all these games. They have fought back in all these games. You got NC State shooting 70% in the first half. They could have just kind of walked away. But Penn State never allowed them to walk away. And it's frustrating right now because you can feel, you know, the potential, but we're just not seeing it on the court right now.
Yeah, I mentioned, you know, last year at this time, you had some of the same questions, right? You had some of the same questions about when does close become actual victories? When are we not thinking about, well, they played good. They played well in that loss. You know, you're facing the same issue. And eventually, that team turned the corner. It was too late, as it turned out, for the NCAA tournament. They were very close. They're obviously going on to win the NIT. It's hard to imagine that this season is going to go any differently, where I think you're looking at this team will turn a corner somehow, some way, but I don't think it's going to happen in time to make an NCAA tournament run. Certainly there are opportunities out there, but things have to start happening and they have to get rid of those dry spells. They have to find that depth and consistency of scoring. There's still some work to do here, even though there are opportunities down the stretch.
Oh, absolutely. They've dug themselves a heck of a hole right now. 5 losses this early in the season, really, really tough to come back from, especially when you're walking into the Big Ten as it is built this season. They've got their work cut out for them. And like you said, they're going to have to go on a run. Maybe it's a run in the Big Ten tournament that helps them get in. I don't know. But sooner or later, I think this is the next step. Forget about the NCAA tournament right now. I think the next step for a Patrick Chambers team is to eliminate these dry spells and to turn the corner as far as closing out games. And then let's start worrying about the NCAA tournament.
Here's what doesn't feel like a good thing in the moment, But what I think is a good thing for the program is that Penn State is rebuilding. You know, and so, and you lose one big-time key piece like Tony Carr early, and you're trying to fill in what he brought to the table with young guys. In this case, a couple true freshmen that you need production from. I think it's fair to call it a rebuilding year. So, but you have expectations attached to it now. You know, they have expectations to try to live up to. So I think in the grand scheme of things, I think that to raise the fan base's expectations is ultimately a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. And people don't understand that it is a rebuilding year because, like I said earlier, it seems like we've been talking about, well, this is a young team, well, this is a young team. It is a young team. When you look at it top to bottom, it's a very young team. And, you know, Lamar is going to be around, hopefully, next year. They'll lose Josh. But, you know, they'll still have everybody back. Next year is really what I'm kind of looking at. Same thing with the Penn State football team. But, you know, I'm looking at a really real powerhouse next season. This is the season where they cut their teeth, when the freshmen really understand what's going on. I think Myron Jones is going to be heard from. And we talk a lot about Miles Dredd, and we talk about Rajir Bolton. I think Myron Jones, he's got a beautiful shot. And you know, he was going to Memphis. And, you know, that's a big-time program. So, and he decided to come to Penn State instead. So he's got the talent there. So if you've got three freshmen coming in this year, you've got the big recruiting class next year as well. Things bode well for Penn State, but right now they seem to take one step up and two steps back.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on those freshmen as we go. Certainly, if you see growth from Miles Dredd, Rashir Bolton, Myron Jones, you can feel better about next season. Interesting couple games ahead. Duquesne, they're 8-2. They're 7-0 at home.
Right.
Alabama on the road. They're 6-3. UMBC after that, not quite the Cinderella team we remember them to be. They're a 6-16 with you know, some not so great losses in there. So there's some chances here for Penn State. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the Big Ten schedule, where the conference runs deep with really good teams. You certainly have number 5 Michigan at the top, number 9 Michigan State, et cetera, et cetera. So it'll be an interesting time for Penn State basketball. You have shots. You know, you have opportunities for this thing to come together and make a run and try to beat some of these teams. I do suspect, though, Jeff, what you're looking at with this Penn State team is a team that's trying to find its way and will maybe knock off a giant or two as the season progresses. We'll see what happens. It's Penn State basketball with Jeff Brown. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Have a Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you beforehand.
Same to you, my friend. And thank you for tuning in. You can check us all our workout at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course, Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.